Sometimes when we read the Bible, we wonder why God might have inspired a particular passage to be written. That is not the case with the Gospel according to John, nor with 1 John. John the Apostle gives us his reasons for both the Gospel and, as we study 1 John, for this letter. We'll be looking at that reason today. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, as we consider today the reason for which the Holy Spirit inspired your Apostle John to write this letter, we pray that you would grant to us understanding, wisdom, and grace that these things might be applied to our lives, that we might know what John says to us. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Hear the word of God. I am reading today from 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Amen. This is God's holy, inspired, inerrant word. May He add His wonderful blessing to our reading and hearing and understanding of it this day. The purpose for which John wrote this first epistle is different from the purpose for which he wrote the Gospel according to John. In both accounts, John gives us a purpose statement as to the reason for his writing those particular things. In 1 John, he is not seeking to persuade men to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time, but rather he is attempting to assure us who are believers in Christ that we do indeed have eternal life. And so the purpose statement in the Gospel according to John is found in John chapter 20, verse 31. But these things were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. Very clearly, John wrote his gospel for an evangelistic purpose, that those who do not know Christ might come to know Christ. The first letter of John is written for a different purpose, and that is to assure believers that we do believe in Christ and that we do have eternal life. And so one of the purposes, the main purpose for this letter, is assurance of the Christian faith. John writes that not to persuade unbelievers, but rather to persuade believers that we do indeed have eternal life in Jesus, the Son of God. These are folks that he writes to. He says, I have written to you who believe, and he uses a present participle indicating an ongoing present belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the purpose for which he wrote this letter. In the gospel, he is writing to persuade. In the first epistle, he is writing to assure Christians of faith in Jesus Christ. But the thing to remember always is that there are dire consequences for those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the gospel, John said in John 3:18, he who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So John is quite clear in that gospel that it's a matter of life and death, eternal life and eternal death. Believing in the name of the Son of God and believing in Jesus Christ for salvation are equivalent. They are the same thing. And so this letter is written with that purpose in mind, to assure us who believe in Jesus Christ that we have eternal life in Him. When John says these things were written, what things is he referring to? Well, in essence, he's referring to everything he has written in this letter all the way up to the present point. And so what has happened is John has given us three tests by which we might know that we have eternal life. They are the moral test, the doctrinal test, and the social test. In John chapter 2, speaking about this moral test, John urges us to keep the commandments of God. That's a test by which we might know that we are believers in Christ and that we have eternal life if we keep the commandments of God. That we purify ourselves, he speaks of toward the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3. And so if there's ongoing sanctification in your life, then you might know that you have eternal life. That you keep yourself from sin, that you are actively engaged in resisting temptations to sin day after day. That you practice righteousness, as God, of course, defines righteousness in the Bible. That you are doing those things, the commandments of God, and those things are righteous in the sight of God. That you keep His commandments, that you obey His commandments, and that as a result of that, you are overcoming the world. All of these things are the moral test by which you might gauge your Christian experience according to the Word of God and determine that you have eternal life in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The second test is the social test. And in chapter 2, he speaks about loving the brethren. And also goes on and says that this means also not loving the world. And so on the one hand, you love those who are in Christ. But on the other hand, you do not love the world or the things of this world. That you are willing to lay down your life for another. That you do not hate fellow Christians. That you are willing to provide for the needs of others. That you love one another. Love one another in chapter 3 and in chapter 4, and that you love the brethren also in chapter 4, and that is the test of true love for God. So over and over and over again in this social test, we see that John focuses on love, not just for God, that's assumed, of course, but love for your fellow Christians, that you love, that you give, that you love them, and that you do not love the world. The third test is the doctrinal test. It's the test of persevering in the truth of the Holy Scriptures, according to chapter 2, of persevering in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, also in chapter 2, of persevering in the Word of God, very much the same thing, obviously, as the Scriptures, of trusting in the promises that God gives in Holy Scripture, of believing in the name of Jesus Christ, of receiving the witness of the Holy Spirit testifying to who Jesus is, of listening to the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ proclaim the true Word of God, according to chapter 4, of professing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, according to chapter 4, of believing that Jesus is the Christ, of believing the testimony given to Him by the Holy Spirit, and as we saw the last time, of believing the testimony given to Him of God the Father as well. So to sum all these things up, what John is saying here is this. He is teaching you, Christian, that you may be assured that you have eternal life if, number one, you practice righteousness and turn away from sin. 1 John 2, verse 3. Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. Number two, that you love the brethren in concrete, discernible ways. 1 John 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. And number three, that you believe the truth of the Word of God about the Lord Jesus Christ and that you persevere in that truth to the very end. 1 John 3, verse 23. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave His commandment. John also warns that those who do not persevere in this are giving evidence of the opposite, that they were never converted at all. And so we read back in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. And so perseverance in the truth, the doctrinal truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, is absolutely necessary for salvation. And those who deny and reject that and who depart from that truth never knew him in the first place. John is quite clear on these three things. So we have in this letter the moral test, the social test, and the doctrinal test. How do you measure up to those three things? Look at the results of passing those tests, that you may know that you have eternal life, John says. And so he is speaking of a concrete certainty when he uses that word know, that you may know for an absolute fact, an unshakable fact, that you have eternal life. That's what he's talking about, a knowledge that cannot be countermanded, a knowledge that cannot be put down, a knowledge that is rock solid and sure and certain because of the promises of God. Eternal life is what he's talking about, of course, and eternal life is not merely something that awaits us in the future, although that is true. The Bible does speak of eternal life in future terms. We read about this in John chapter 6, where Jesus says, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And he goes on and says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life." In Mark chapter 10, Jesus is speaking and says, "Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life." So there is a future aspect to eternal life that we do long for and look forward to. But eternal life begins now. It begins the moment we are regenerated and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. So eternal life as a present possession is also spoken of in Scripture. John 17, verse 3, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And in John 3, 36, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides or remains on him." In John 5:24, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my words and believes him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." And so there is this present possession of eternal life that begins when you are regenerated by the Holy Spirit, when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. From that second onward, you are given eternal life. You possess eternal life now, but there is an aspect of eternal life that awaits the return of Christ. And then we will see the fullness of eternal life in the eternal kingdom that is yet to come. Finally, John writes, "And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Now, while there are some manuscripts that do not contain these words, this is one of the purposes for which John wrote, and therefore this sentence is scriptural. This is what John says. He does not want you to simply be assured of salvation. He wants you to be assured and to continue to be assured and continue to believe, to persevere to the very end in salvation. And so perseverance is the last part of what this letter is written for, to give us assurance of our eternal life, but to also encourage us, because we know that we have eternal life, to persevere in that eternal life to the very end of our lives, when we will experience a renewal and a change, and then in the eternal kingdom after Christ returns, the fullness of eternal life forever. So John is not merely concerned with a passing assurance, a feeling that is momentary, but not only is he concerned that we believe sincerely and have a firm conviction that cannot be shaken, that we possess from this moment forward eternal life in Jesus Christ our Savior, but that we continue in that belief to the very end without ceasing. And so perseverance is important in the Christian life. It's not because we're strong, but because of the Holy Spirit who works in us, enabling us to persevere to the very end. He wants you to remain firm in that faith that brings salvation. You begin by believing in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. You continue by having this faith working in your life throughout your life, and this brings you assurance of salvation. And so the purpose for this is that John wants us as Christians to know that we have salvation, to know that we have eternal life, and to encourage us to continue to remain firm in the message of the gospel, that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of sinners, that Christ has done it all, that we owe all to Him, that He is the one perfect Savior, and that there is no way to God except through Him. So all of these things are wrapped up in what John is telling us about this purpose for which he wrote this letter, 1 John. He wants us to know with an unshakable certainty that we possess eternal life in the only Son of God, Jesus Christ, and that we continue with unwavering loyalty to persevere in that belief to the very end of our lives. The question that this verse poses is simply this: where do you stand in relationship to the things that are taught in this letter? Do you have assurance of salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ yourself? Do you pass the test that John has set forth in this letter thus far? Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who is continually seeking to practice righteousness and who turns away from temptation to sin? Are you one who loves the brethren in concrete and discernible ways that not only you but others can see? And are you one who believes in the doctrinal truths taught in the Holy Scripture, that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God, the only Savior of sinners? And are you trusting in Him and in Him alone as your Savior today? So if all of these things are true of you, then you may know for an absolute certainty that you possess eternal life through faith in the Son of God, and that you shall indeed go on to possess that eternal life throughout all eternity. You shall persevere to the end in this life, and you shall experience the fullness of eternal life to come. But if you are someone who is watching or listening today, and you do not have such assurance because you fail these tests, you do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, you do not love Christians, and you do not walk in holiness, but you continue to live in sin and rebellion against God, I urge you today, repent. Turn from those sins. Flee to the cross of Christ. Embrace Jesus as your Savior. For Christ and Christ alone is the only Savior of sinners. That's taught throughout the Bible. There is no other name under heaven given among men except that of Jesus Christ, by which you might be saved. If you've never done so, repent, believe in Jesus right now before it is too late. Amen. Let us pray once more. Almighty and gracious God, how we thank you that John so clearly tells us the reason for which he wrote this magnificent letter. I pray that any watching or listening today who are doubting their salvation might put themselves to the test that John mentions in this letter and might come to a rock-solid assurance of eternal life through faith in Christ. Grant Christians this unwavering, unshakable faith. And Father, for any watching who do not know Christ, open their blind eyes to see, unstop their deaf ears to hear, and grant to them hearts that believe in Christ unto salvation, even today. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you for being with me this week, and I look forward to continuing our study in 1 John next time.